Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back into the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju here with you.
Hey there, fly sexy ladies. This is your boy, Alex Adianju, for Q 107.3 FM.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
What was Tim Meadows' character, the ladies' man?
Yes.
You sounded better than me.
You know, I used to do radio back in college. One of the side jobs we had, you know, on the streets. A lot of cats don't know a lot of things about your boy.
Apparently.
We got a lot of stories. Maybe one day I'll give you the life story of Alex Adianju.
Let me just tell you, it's great. It's intense.
I'm making a mandate right now.
What's that, Ryan?
That you need to speak in that voice for as much of this week's Rebel Room podcast as humanly possible.
You mean this voice? Where I drop it down to the bass, and I just talk. Talk about UNLV, talk about anything you want.
People listening to this on iTunes, you know, back at home, I mean, they're turning that subwoofer down to the ground. They just want to feel it at their feet while we talk Rebel football. They want to feel it in the souls.
Yes, deep in their clothes. I was going to say something, but probably not work friendly.
Gosh, I hope the powers that be aren't listening. That is
could have gotten trouble on that one.
That is Alex Smooth Jazz Adianju.
Jazz 102.7.
I'm Ryan Green, and welcome into another edition of the Rebel Room, where we are talking everything and anything and everything UNLV athletics this week. Mostly football on the heels of UNLV's 49-27 loss to Nevada Reno Saturday at Sam Boyce Stadium, dropping the Rebs to 3-2 on the season. Far from over, but boy, you can already feel the pressure on the axles on the bandwagon just got big relief this week, I'll tell you. And I think that's safe to say.
A lot of fans jumped off that bandwagon after this game. It was just because they lost. They got beat they just got beat on Saturday, you know? The biggest crowd of the year most likely, and they just got their butt whooped. I mean, every way you look at that ball game, UNLV did not win anything. Offense, defense, special teams.
Dak Ishii was winning.
Okay, special
Dak
teams.
Dak Ishii's been winning all year. I'll give him that.
Okay, but offense and defense-wise, no.
Probably not.
No. I mean, 620 yards by Nevada Reno.
Including
444 on the ground, including 240-something from
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick, Nevada Reno's quarterback, who looked like a cross between Michael Vick, Vince Young, Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas,
and
Peyton Manning.
And Jesus.
Jesus, Tom Brady, pretty much any quarterback, Troy Aikman.
And Zeus.
Zeus, Steve DeBerg. I mean.
And Rex Grossman.
Warren Moon, Kyle Orton, Donovan McNabb.
Let's just say he killed it. He killed it.
He put it down.
Yeah, 240 yards rushing. Three touchdowns, 176 yards through the air with two more scores. That game's in the past. We will talk about it a little more today.
He put on for a city is what he did. He put on for a city.
Nobody's ever put on for Reno like that.
But he did.
Yeah.
And, he did.
And we will talk about that, and we're also going to look ahead because, like, the theme of this week's show, the season is not over, folks. There's
Calm
no
down.
Reason to jump off out of the speeding car just yet. The Rebels are still 3-2. They still got seven games left. They've still got a lot of home games left. It's not over.
But saying all that, this is a big game this weekend.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that as the Rebels get set to head up to Fort Collins, Colorado. I can't pronounce it.
We'll be there as well.
They'll be taking on the CSU Rams at 2-2. A little more up and down than UNLV so far this season. We'll talk about that. But Alex, let's start by going back to that Reno game for a little bit. One thing you talked about. The crowd there. I mean, I don't think, unless UNLV was to win maybe its next, you know, three, four games and, you know, be hot again going into, say, maybe like TCU, I don't know if we're going to see a crowd like that again.
It is highly unlikely. I mean, they were loud. They were energized all season. I mean, first couple of home games, the crowd wasn't really, let's be real, they weren't really that loud. They're kind of just there. I mean, this game, they were loud. They were ready to go. They wanted to cheer on UNLV. Every opportunity they had in that first half, they were cheering before the wheels fell off the bus, and it started skidding real bad.
Yeah,
but I mean, you gotta give the crowd props. I mean, there were a lot of Reno fans as well, but the UNLV faithful was loud and proud, and they were ready to go on Saturday.
UNLV had it going for a while, scored the first 10 points of the game, was up 17-7, and then found itself down 28-20 before the half. After Reno just kind of figured it out, they started going with that the zone reads, the option. Kaepernick at 6'6" was as we put in the Las Vegas Sun, secretariat-like strides when he got. I mean, that guy was big and smooth, even smoother than that little voice of yours. I mean, he had it
smoother
going.
Than this voice right here. I don't know about this. This is like
subwoofer down.
This is like fine wine. This is like velvet. This is like one of the best clothing you ever felt in your life when you were in Italy, and you just feel it. And you're just like, oh, I got to have it. That's what this voice is all about right here. Why you have a smile on your face like that, Ryan? Easy.
I'm just entranced.
Easy.
But, no, Kaepernick, I mean, that guy was the real deal. And you know, we talked about it going into that game. UNLV had struggled all year with dual-threat quarterbacks, quarterbacks who could just make, put defenses on their heels and keep them there. And, you know, this guy was the best of the bunch, and he played like the best of the bunch. And there was just nothing. A lot of people were like, why weren't there adjustments made? There were adjustments made defensively.
Sometimes,
there was no stopping that guy.
Sometimes when you play great players, they find a way to make plays, even if you put 11 guys on them. I mean, UNLV tried everything on second half against Kaepernick. They put everything they could on that man, but he found a way to make plays and make yardage and score touchdowns, and that's what just good, great players do. They find a way to score touchdowns for their team.
Well, and it's funny because even given the fact that UNLV was – I mean, let's just put it this way. UNLV got put in a situation where this offense is not really quite comfortable yet. They were drawn into a shootout. And, you know, for as many steps forward as Omar Clayton's taken this season and as much as we've seen him grow already, just five games into his first full year as a starter, this is not an offense that's made for shootouts. You know, they've got the element to where they can control the ground game with Frank Summers. They've got an established set of receivers, but they just don't push the ball down the field real fast, those quick strike scores. And it was just a game that maybe they just weren't ready to keep pace in.
I mean,
offensively,
UNLV's offense, they like to run the ball to set up the pass, and they could not run the ball with Frank Summers. Now, Coach Sanford said that they were doing something defensively where they just would not allow Frank to get open, so that's why they switched the passing game. And when they switched, I mean, they made a lot of plays, but they just did not make enough plays when it mattered to win the ball game in the passing game.
Yeah, and you know, there were just so many things that went wrong for UNLV. There was a bright spot on defense. Jason Beauchamp, junior linebacker, had 21 tackles, one shy of the school record. Also had 2.5 tackles for loss, a sack, a fumble recovery. Was the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week, and I'm willing to bet that. That is the biggest losing margin
for a player
this week for a defensive player of the week.
I mean, he was all over the field. He was playing till that final snap. He was not going to quit. And you got to be proud of the way he played on Saturday night, because 21 tackles, I mean, you can't even get 21 tackles in two games for most players. And he did it in a one game with 2.5 tackles for a loss and a sack. So he was just doing what he had to do for UNLV to win.
Unfortunately, I think a lot – you said this earlier in the week. A lot of those tackles came on – assignments that weren't his.
Yeah. I mean, he was making plays when no one else was making plays because they were in the wrong position or something like that. So,
oh, boy.
Well, I mean, hey, it's not his fault. He tried.
Yeah.
But missed assignments and missed assignments. And UNLV was not tackling well at all. I mean, they had a bunch of missed tackles, were not wrapping up. They were hitting, but they weren't wrapping up. And Nevada Arena was just bouncing off those tackles and getting more yardage.
And, you know, Mike Sanford said it best, too. This is he doesn't know. He said yesterday at his weekly luncheon, you know, I don't know what the average is for missed tackles in a game, but I know that when you're in double figures, it's not good. And they went back through the game tape on Sunday. They had 24 missed tackles that were counted. That's
time
a lot.
To get
that's
back to the basics this week in practice. The old wrap and push and pull.
That is just a lot.
That's a lot of missed tackles. Well, think about it. 24 missed tackles. How many plays did UNLV Reno run? How many plays did UN Reno run? I mean, they couldn't run more than, what, 60, 70 plays?
Well, I'll tell you what the killer was, and I think this was pretty obvious, too. It was that score to start the second half. You know, UNLV claws and gets to within one score of UNR at halftime. You know, despite that hellacious second quarter that UNR put them through, they were still within one score. UNR gets the ball. Or UNLV gets the ball, goes 3-and-out. UNR gets it back, first play.
First play.
Or, no, it was the first play.
No, it was
play.
First
yeah,
play of
the
half.
It was
the
first
yeah.
play. They got the ball. Kaepernick just goes 66 yards down the sideline, pretty much untouched.
You
that could, was pretty much
You kind of got a sense that one took the air out of the stadium, mm-hmm. at the players. I mean, they just were not expecting that play like that. And once that smacked them in the face, they weren't able to bounce back. And I mean, I think the offense went 3-and-out right after that series. They gave the ball back to Nevada Reno again. And it was, I mean, you can pretty much say it was over after that play.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm going to agree.
Okay.
Well, and, you know, I think that one was a little tough to get over for UNLV, no question. Samford talked about his players. You know, Sunday it was a little tougher. They haven't dealt with a Sunday like that in a while, since the second week of the season. And, you know, it wasn't just losing a game. It was losing to your in-state rival for seniors, their last chance to get the Fremont Cannon. And watching them, you know, chant and celebrate on your home turf with the Cannon.
That was disrespectful. I'm just saying. In my countries, if I see someone celebrate on my home field after a rivalry game, there would be some situations popping off. I'm just saying what I would do, you know. And I saw that. I was like, really? They're just going to let them do that like that? I mean, you got to have a little pride. I'm not saying fight them or anything like that. But you guys, I mean, security, what were they doing? Just chilling, minding their own business, not doing anything. And I was like, wow, really? In my countries, that would not go down. I'm just saying, that would not go down point blank.
Yeah, that was, the best hope that UNLV can have now is that it's they've been able to put it in the past.
And, this may be what UNLV needed. They needed that slap in the face to make it seem like they're not as good as maybe they are, and they need to get that motivation back. Like Frank was saying earlier in the year, they need to get that respect back. And for Nevada Reno to come in and beat them like they did, maybe that's a wake-up call, and maybe UNLV will turn their tables now.
Well, they've got a chance against a team that has given them some issues in the past, but this is a winnable game, and the Vegas Lions have it at Colorado State. They have the Rams as a 2-point home favorite, and you know, as a lot of people in this town know, that you know, when someone's a 2-point favorite, it really means it's more or less a toss up.
Yeah, I mean, home teams always get the -3 just to start out the line, and yeah. To be 2 right now, I mean, you do the math.
So this is a toss up, I think the best thing for UNLV going into this game is that this is an opponent who, for once, for the first time since Arizona State, this is an opponent who doesn't have a quarterback that's going to, you know, try to run circles around them intentionally, you know?
I would agree.
Billy Ferris, the fifth-year senior, first-year coach Steve Fairchild announced that he will be the starter on Saturday. Clay Kubiak, a redshirt freshman, son of
Gary Kubiak.
Texans coach Gary Kubiak made his season debut last week in a 42-7 road loss to Cal. He went 6 of 9 for 130 yards, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him. But Billy Ferris, not a runner, has -50 rushing yards on the season.
If he jumps off for like 240, then you know something's popping off. So I would not expect that to happen.
Yeah, so this is a team that's a little different. This is more of a slowed down pace, the pace that, you know, UNLV, I guess, I'm not going to say is more comfortable with, but it maybe tilts things in their favor given what they've accomplished this season.
I would agree. I mean, they've played well against quarterbacks who have not been able to run the ball themselves, you know, and so hopefully with a drop back quarterback like Colorado State has, that'll be a favor coming into the game coming up on Saturday.
Well, this is a team, too, that can run the ball. This is Garchell Johnson, senior running back for the Rams. One of our coworkers put it best. He almost looks a little bit like Steven Jackson. He's a big guy. He's got the dreadlocks flowing out the back of the helmet. He runs very hard. He's fifth in the league in rushing. He's fifth in the league in rushing with 300 yards this season on the ground. I mean, Frank Summers has better numbers than that, but they like to go to this guy, and I think it's pretty obvious they're gonna make him do some work.
And UNLV has found a way to stop running backs all season long. Now, quarterbacks is the question. Yeah. Running backs they've been able to handle, so we'll see if they'll be able to handle them coming up Saturday morning. By the way, a Saturday morning kickoff. I haven't had one of those in like 2 years, man.
This is the first day game of the year for the Ribs.
I don't even know what I'm gonna do with myself. Waking up early and having to walk to go to a stadium.
I'll
and
tell
stuff.
You what you'll do. You'll go to sleep at a decent hour on Saturday.
Oh, who are you, my mother now? Let me do what I got to do. You gotta be hating?
I'm just saying.
Like your boy can't do what he needs to do and still wake up in the morning.
Why are you getting all militant?
I'm just saying. More Colorado State UNLV.
I'm just saying. Anyway, UNLV, let's talk about the strengths. There were some positives out of that Nevada game that can carry over, and I think one is that is on the offensive side of the ball, and it's that Ryan Wolf has established himself. I would have to say, maybe the most reliable, one of the most reliable offensive weapons you're going to find in the entire Mountain West.
I mean, I was watching the game, and there were six straight pass throws that Omar Clayton looked at Ryan Wolf before he looked at anybody else. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go to Ryan. Ryan had a great ball game, over 100 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he's establishing himself as one of the best in the conference. I mean, freshman All-American, and now his junior year, he's making a lot of moves and making a lot of plays for UNLV.
Eight catches for 167 and a touchdown on Saturday. And not only that, but big plays. And most notably, I think of the third and 20 play where he caught the diving pass over the middle for 26 yards, fully extended between
double coverage,
two defenders.
Yeah.
He was making huge plays. And you know, he's ranking up there in the nation right now. 37 catches, ranks fourth in the nation. He's tied for seventh in the nation in receiving yards. So,
and he moved up to number five on the all-time UNLV receptions list with his great play on Saturday night. And he also had a touchdown called back, too. Can you
yeah,
49-yarder
down the seam.
Yeah, which was a great play-action play by Omar to Ryan Wolf. So, I mean, Ryan Wolf, expect him to have another big game. I think coming into the season, everybody knew Casey Flair would be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't see anything from Philip Payne that warranted what has happened. I mean, coming into the season, and now with Ryan Wolf, that's a good 1-2-3 wide receiving core. I mean, that's probably one of the best in the Mountain West that you'll find.
Well, Omar Clayton and the pass game are pretty much the known quantities of what you're getting in this game, and special teams too, because UNLV's been pretty good special teams wise. I guess the biggest things we want to talk about are the two unknowns, how they're going to respond this week. One is on the offensive side of the ball. That's the run game. Frank Summers, only 20 yards on 9 carries. He was a little banged up. Sanford thinks he's going to be better this week. This, like we said, this speed of a game is going to dictate. It's going to give him a little more opportunity. How do you expect Frank to bounce back this week?
I mean, I think he's going to have a monster game. It wouldn't surprise me if those first two possessions we saw six straight run plays just to establish the run for Colorado State, saying, look, this is what we're going to do. Try to stop him. I mean, that first series, if he doesn't run the ball at least two times, I would be shocked, because they did not run the ball at all against Nevada Reno, and they have to run the ball. You see, when UNLV wins, Frank has big games, and Frank likes to carry the load. So I think UNLV has to go back to what brought him here and win and run the ball with Frank.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. And the other thing is, this is a guy who has a history of success, 123 total yards against Colorado State and two touchdowns last year in a blowout loss at home. But,
that was when the wind was gusting 85 miles per hour.
Yeah, and Mike Sanford,
he drew a little picture for us, which was hilarious, about the wind.
A diagram of just how bad it was. It was pretty funny. But, I think that's one on the offensive side of the ball. The other one's on the defensive side of the ball. The defense as a whole, I don't know a better way to say it.
They were horrible.
They need a bounce back. And the thing is, they've been
relatively good all season
long.
The
last three halves have just been tough, and I don't know what it is, but I don't know if either of us are expecting them to come back and just annihilate Colorado State, go into their house and shut them down. But I mean, we've got to expect them to play better than the last three halves.
Did
right?
they get a three and out second half against Nevada Reno? I don't think they did.
That's a good question.
I mean, the D has been.
I don't even know if they fielded a punt in the second half.
The D has. They had the. No, they had one 77 yard punt in the first half.
Because of holding.
Yeah.
Or penalty flags.
Yeah.
The ones that killed that drive.
Yeah. They're hurting right now. Let's just be real. You can't wash around this one. The defense is hurting. And the thing, they played so well those first three and a half games. And then second half of Iowa State and all four quarters of Nevada Reno.
I don't know if I'd call the second half at Utah that solid, but that's a different
situation.
That game was kind of – that was swinging Utah's way. But I think the key for UNLV is slowing down the running game, obviously, to be Captain Obvious here. Because, this is a team, Colorado State, that has some talent on the perimeters, but, speed-wise, UNLV probably has an advantage this weekend. And
I think the key will be if Colorado State jumps out to an early lead, how will the defense react? Mm-hmm. I mean, after what's happened to them the past six quarters, how will the defense react when if Colorado State jumps out with two big plays to open up the game or something like that. That'll be interesting to see coming up on Saturday morning.
And the other thing too is that UNLV or you know this is a you know Colorado State is a team that you know they're not really built to play from behind. But at the same time, you've got to be a little wary of this Colorado State team because more so than anybody UNLV has played this year, and this will be before we get to the end of the rope here. This will be the last thing we hit on. They're a team that Samford agreed yesterday. They're a little bit of an unknown because they've just had such choppy results so far. First, you know, you get blown out by your in-state rival Colorado, who usually you play a close game with. Then you come back home for your opener, first game under a new head coach in Fort Collins, and you squeak by a 1AA opponent by 3 points.
Sacramento State.
And then you beat Houston, who's probably on its way to a bowl game later this year. And then you just go get smoked by Colorado or by Cal Berkeley. So, I mean, this is just they're
kind of bipolar.
Yeah,
you really don't know what to expect from this team coming
up. Makes them scary.
It is because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's like that hot girl you meet out in the club, and you know she's a little crazy, but you try to still holler at her. You know what I'm saying? But you're like, you know she's crazy, but she be looking good. So you keep talking, and then she like stab you in the back or something like that, and you gotta go to the emergency room, get them stitches. Not that happened to me. I'm just throwing out a situation. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what, you know?
I don't understand anything you said the last 32 seconds.
Exactly. That's what
I heard what you said. I just don't get it.
Oh. Well, maybe one day I'll
Maybe. Well, let's get before we confuse our listeners anymore.
Knew what's up. They've all been in that situation.
And before we pay the bills, let's get some.
We gotta pay the bills.
Let's get some predictions. It's Vegas says it's a toss up. Vegas is usually pretty right, so it's gonna come down to
I've been right on Vegas pretty recently too. I'm just saying.
So it's gonna come down to the fourth quarter. How do you see this one playing out?
I mean, I think it all depends on how big the crowd is. If the crowd's a factor, I don't think UNLV will win this ball game, but looking at the attendance figures from their two home games, they've drawn 20,000 and 21,000. So, I mean, don't expect a lot of fans there at Fort Collins. I mean, you know what? I think UNLV is going to win. I think this year they've turned the corner. When they lose, they find a way to come back and win the ball game. That's why I'm picking UNLV. Close. I'm saying like 24-21 or something.
See,
like
now,
that.
In previous situations where it was just the two of us in here, just to add some fire to the some fuel to the flames, I'd go against what you picked just to get both sides out there. But call me the eternal optimist, but I like this team for one reason. I've become more and more convinced that Omar Clayton, this is his team. I've become more and more convinced each week. You know, he was holding his head up higher than just about anybody after that game on Saturday. And you know, we've seen him grow, just not in terms of production, but also mentally each week as it's passed. And I've got a feeling that he's not going to let this offense fall back going into this game. And I think it's going to be close because you know road games are always a challenge, especially in conference for this program. But
have we had a road game or two or three years or something like that? Ridiculous.
Yeah, I like UNLV in this one. I'm going to say by about 5 points.
I mean, we'll really find out if UNLV has any leadership on this team. Because some of the upperclassmen and some of the stars, if they really want this game, they should not lose. I mean, if it's all about leadership. Coaches can talk all they want to talk. If you got those players on the sidelines and in the locker room talking as well, that will build up the confidence. And we'll see what kind of leadership UNLV has coming up on Saturday afternoon morning.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's safe to say players agreed with it after the game on Saturday. We're going to learn more about this UNLV team this week than maybe at any other point this season.
I would agree. Yes.
Well, let's pay some bills. Agree. Finally, we've shoot. I don't know. You look down the page here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels, and you see everything you need to see. We're gonna have live in-game coverage as always for you. Live in-game blog. We'll have full post-game coverage, stories, photos, video. What else we got?
Numbers, box scores.
Everything. We've got we've got some more features now on this site. We've got Jerry Tarkanian blogging for us.
The Shark.
Shark Bites. He's talking college football, and the guy knows his stuff. So check that out, Shark Bites. We've also got Jason Beauchamp.
Talked
about earlier. He's blogging for us all season. Judgment Days. He's getting pretty darn good at it too.
He's doing all right. Yeah. He's not that bad.
What else you want to get?
Oh, you know we got a promo all in.
Vegas TV 14, Channel 14 on Thursdays 5:30. We'll have your full, you know, I'm going to drop down the deep voice for all the sexy ladies out there. Vegas TV, all in Thursdays at 5:30. We'll preview UNLV. High school football game of the week is Las Vegas High versus, who are they playing? Valley High School. We got betting, gambling with Jeff Haney, UNLV preview with Ryan Green. It's going to be fun. You got to watch so we can pay the bills and I can get a paycheck every 2 weeks. So can you help a brother out? Vegas TV, Thursday, 5:30, Channel 14, we're all in.
LasVegasSun.com/all in.
LasVegasSun.com/all in. We're on iTunes, search all in, and Vegas. We're on YouTube.
You gotta only call it that iTunes game.
We're on that iTunes game. We're on the YouTubes now as well.
YouTube game.
YouTube.com/all in Vegas.
Let me just put this out.
We're taking over the world. I don't know if you know this.
One thing I can say about the Las Vegas Sun, we are constantly winning at the internet. We're constantly winning at the internet. We're just good at the internet.
We know what to do.
Well, that's it for this week's Rebel Room for Alex Adianju.
Hey, I'll see you guys next week.
I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
In the Rebel Room. Thanks for listening.
Bye.